Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin halfway down the Daf, down Daf Kuf Hei Omid Aleph. For those who are real counting enthusiasts, try counting 28 lines from the top, and you'll see a framed Tanaic source following which is the beginning point of our shiur. Levi Nofak, those are the beginning words. But before we begin the actual Gemara text, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. Shloisha Dvorim Shenishal Levi. We're going to see in this piece of Gemara three questions that were posed to Levi. Gidemes Mahu Shetachloitz, a woman who has an arm amputee, can she, if she's a Yavoma, remove the shoe of the brother-in-law with her teeth? Yavoma Shirokiko Dam, a Yavoma, the widow, who is as part of the Chalitza ceremony is expected to spit, but when she spits, what comes out of her mouth is blood. What is that? Is it considered a fulfillment of the Chalitza requirement? And a third point, Mahu Kavonas HaPosuk B'Daniel Shekosuv Ksav Emes. There's a posuk in the book of Daniel that makes reference to Ksav Emes, the writing of truth. The question that will be raised is, V'chiyesh Ksav She'eno Emes? Is there such a thing as something that's written out that's not truthful? Bahem Shech HaGemora Techalek Ben Gzar Din Shiyeshi Moishvua Lezeh She'eni Moishvua. Gemara, and as it continues, the Gemara will explain that posuk in terms of a distinction. In other words, you have the posuk and the inference. The posuk is that there's a writing of truth and there's a writing that's not of truth. So there's going to be a distinction made between a verdict handed down from heaven regarding punishment, a verdict that comes with it an oath, a shvuah, versus a verdict that is handed down that is not accompanied by an oath. And we'll try to explain that a little further when we get into the Gemara. We should point out that the three questions that are posed to Levi does not have an answer for any of them, but the question is then directed to the Beis Medrash, where you have a collection of sages, and the answer is forthcoming from there. So now the Gemara. Levi Nofak Lekaraisa. Karaisa went out to the fields to see what was needed in those areas. Another translation that is given is that he went into country towns, outlying communities, and in his visit there, Bo'u Mine, they asked of him three questions. Gidemes Mao Shitachlots. Gidemes, an arm amputee woman. Can she fulfill Chalitza, meaning the removal of the shoe by using her teeth? Number two, Yevoma Sherokiko Dam Mahu, the widow who spits as part of the Chalitza ceremony, but coming out of her mouth is blood. What is that, as far as the halacha is concerned? And number three, there is a posuk that says, Avol agidloch es horoshim b'ksav emes. Michlal, from inference, you would understand, the ikok ksav she'eno emes, that there is a writing that is not truthful. What could that possibly refer to? Lo hava biyodei. Levi didn't have an answer to these questions. Also, Shoyal Bei Midrasha, he went and presented these questions to the Beis Medrash, to the assembly in the study center. Omru Lei, they responded, Miksiv V'cholza B'yad. The Pasuk says V'cholza, she removes Na'alo, his shoe, but it doesn't say that she must employ her arm or her hand for that, so that the teeth approach would be okay. Umiksiv v'yorka roke. Does the pasuk say that she has to spit out saliva? Doesn't say that. So whatever comes out of her mouth when she does the act of spitting is sufficient. And now, as far as the pasuk is concerned, avol agid lo choroshim b'ksav emes v'chiyesh ksav sheino emes, and you would ask, is there such a thing as something that's not truthful? Lo kashya. There is no contradiction between that which is written and that which is inferred. Kan b'gzar din shiyesh imo yeshivua. One is a reference to a situation where the Almighty issues a verdict and swears to fulfill it. That is something that is irrefutable. It's irreversible. And as such, that would be called emes, something that is binding, is truthful, is unchanging. Kan b'gzar din she'ein imo yeshivua. And the inference that there's such a thing as a ksav that's not emes is a reference to a verdict that's not accompanied by an oath that the Almighty takes, so to speak, that He will keep what He rules. Kinnarav Shmuel Barami, in accordance with his teaching, Dhamma Shmuel Barami Omar Rabbi Yonason, Minayin L'Gzar Din Shieshi Moshvua Sheinu Miskarea. From where do we know that a Gzar Din, that a verdict issued by heaven that is accompanied by the Almighty's vowing to fulfill it, that it's not torn up, it's not rescinded. Shinamar Lochinishbati Bavais Eli and Miskaper Avoin Bais Eli Bezevachu Vemincho Ad Oilom. And in as a result of the offspring, the children of Eli, behaving in a negative fashion, the Almighty was very upset with that, and he says in this pasuk, I swear that Beis Eli will not be forgiven through the offering of sacrifices and meal offerings forever. Omar Rabba. Now Rabba, in looking at this pasuk regarding the Beis Eli, he says, that's true, that they will never receive atonement through sacrifices and through meal offerings. But if the descendants of Eli study Torah, so then through the study of Torah they can achieve atonement. And we should point out that the oath, the verdict handed down regarding the descendants of Eli was such that they will always die young. So Rabba points out that if they learn Torah, that will enable them to have a longer life than otherwise. Abaye Omar, Abaye, looking at the same pasuk, concludes, "Bezevach v'mincha eino miskaper, avo miskaper begemilus chasodim." Through the standard form of atonement, namely through sacrificial offerings, that will not be effective for the descendants of Eli. Eli, we should have mentioned for those who might not be familiar, Eli was the high priest, was the Kohen Gadol at the latter part of the Mishkan that stood in Shiloh, and we're talking about a time period when Shmuel Hanavi was born. So that's as far as a time frame, a certain perspective in history, in which to appreciate Eli and his descendants. Now, Abaye then pointed out that through the acts of loving kindness that the descendants of Eli would perform, that would stand in their good stead. That would be a source of merit for them. Rabba v'Abaye midabeis Eli ka'asu. These two opinions that we just saw, Rabba and Abaye, happen to be kohanim and descendants from the house of Eli. Rabba, the Osak B'Torah Choy Arboin Shonin. Rabba, who, by the way, we mentioned that they were the descendants of Beis Eli were to die young, and elsewhere it's pointed out that means not live beyond 18 years of age. So Rabba, he managed to live till age 40, which is, you can imagine, is a very significant achievement, being that he's a descendant from Eli. But he studied Torah, and through the merit of his Torah study, he was able to live till age 40. Abaye d'osak b'tervig minus chasodim choyo shisin shonin. Abaye studied Torah and also was involved with acts of loving kindness, he managed to live till age 60. Before continuing, we want to note the topic heading that we already touched upon. We already began studying it, but nevertheless, we have on the side the Nosei is Beis Eli Al Yedei Torah Mitzvasodim Yecholim LaHarich Yemehem. The descendants of Eli, through the study of Torah and practicing loving kindness, can elongate their lives. So we have a source that deals with this. Tanu Rabbanon, Mishpocha Achas Hoisib Yerushalayim, Shoyumesim Keven Shmoina Esrei Shana. There was a family in Jerusalem that the people in that family died very young. They died at age 18. A very unusual situation. Bovo, the U.S. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was informed of this. Omar lehem, Shema Mishpachas Eli Atem. Maybe you are descendants of from the family of Eli. Shenema, regarding the house of Eli, it says, V'chomar b'sbeisecho yomusu anoshim. Meaning those that grow or descend from the house of Eli will die in their prime of life at 18. Lechu v'yisku b'toro v'tifyu. Go and pursue Torah study, and you will find that you will be able to live longer. Holchu v'yosku b'toro v'choyu. They engaged in Torah study and they lived longer. V'yukurinu son mishpachas Yochanan al shmo. And the family took upon themselves the name Yochanan. They became known as the Yochanan family in honor of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Unya, Omar Rav, Minayin ligzar din shel tzibur she'enoi nechtam. So first we translate. The Gemara is going to correct this, but from where do we know that a verdict handed in by heaven regarding the community is not sealed? Eino nechtam, is that so that it's not sealed? V'hok siv ki in techabsi b'nesiv v'sarbi loch boiris nechtam avonech lefonai. The posuk indicates, even though this word is spelled with a chof, nechtam, indicating a stain, but the idea here is that if you try to cleanse yourselves, the stain remains. The stain of sin remains, indicating that the gzar din of the tzibur is sealed. Ella, so what is Rav Shmuel's? What is his investigation? What is he asking about? Ella, rather minayin shafilu nechtam miskarea. When it comes to the community, from where do we know that even if it is a sealed verdict, it can be torn up, it can be rescinded? Shenema, the posuk says, Mi kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elov. Who is like our Lord, our Almighty God, that can be sought out on at all times, b'chol kareinu, at all times, which indicates even after a verdict is in, there is a listening ear in heaven, so to speak. So the Gemara asks, well, how can we understand that posuk as it is? Well, is there not another verse that says, "Dirshu Hashem behimotzo," seek out the Almighty when He is found? If we can allow, say, a colloquialism, during His office hours. So we've dashed underlined the two phrases that need to be resolved. On the one hand, you say, "Bechol Koreinu," He's always available. On the other hand, it says, "Behimotzo," only when He is found and during His hours. Loi kasha. As far as these two psukim are concerned, there's no contradiction. Hal biyachid, hal betzibur. If you're dealing with an individual and his turning to the Almighty for his own needs, so that is the pasuk. He must so. He only has certain hours in which you can turn to him, so to speak. And the other, that he's always available, that is regarding the community. Now, we should probably put this in the context of a gzar din that has been handed in, and sealed. Can that be reversed? Or certainly, even if it's not sealed, but you have a verdict, can it be reversed? So as far as a verdict regarding the tzibur, we already said that even if it's sealed, it can be torn up. That we said, that's as far as a communal, a tzibur-related gzar din. that, of course, involves the beseeching on the part of the community. The community, the nation, goes out of its way to pray and turn in prayer to the Almighty. That can be reversed even after it's been sealed. The issue we mentioned before regarding the Beis Eli, I would not classify that as a tzibur, but rather that is a that's a private type matter. And there, the Gzar Din was accompanied by a vow. Whether a sealing is the equivalent of a vow is also a separate point of discussion. But as far as this is concerned, the two psukim, we see that for the tzibur, the Almighty is always available, even after a gzar din that's nechtam. As far as a yochid is concerned, once a verdict is in, can the individual do something about it? Well, if he seeks out the Almighty, behimot so, during his hours. So the Gemara asks, v'yochid emas, when is that time that he is found? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Barvu Elu Asor Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. This is a reference to the 10 days that are between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, of course, inclusive. You count Rosh Hashanah as number 1 and Yom Kippur as number 10. You find 10 days. Yom Kippur comes out on the 10th of Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah, of course, being the 1st of Tishrei. So during those special days, a yochid who might have been found guilty in the eyes of the Almighty through prayer, through beseeching, that can be reversed. Sholchule lavua de Shmuel yivoma shirokik odam, a yivoma that spit forth blood, tachloitz, her chalitza is acceptable. Because it's impossible for spittle, even if it appears to be blood, that it doesn't also contain saliva. So that, as far as that which was sent to Avu Dishmuel, that the bloody substance that comes out when she spits definitely contains some saliva. Meisve, the Gemara is now going to challenge that declaration. Yochel, now we should point out that this source deals with the realm known as Tumas Zav. The Zav is a man that experiences a certain type of emission that creates a state of Tumah. And when the Zav is in that state of Tumah, various other substances that come forth from him represent a high state of defilement. Included in that list of substances that come forth from a Zav is saliva that comes out of his, that comes forth from his roik. So now, with that background in mind, we're dealing with a zav. Yochel yehe dam hayotze mipiv umipiho amo tome. Could it be that blood that comes out of his mouth? And we emphasize that because this is the main point of the question. Blood coming out of his mouth, umipiho amo, from the male organ, would that constitute a source of tum'ah? Talmud lomar zoivoy tomei. The Pasuk speaks about the zov substance. It's a different type of substance that comes forth from there. That's tomei. V'ein dam hayotze mipiv umipiho amo tomei alo tohor. Zovo is tomei, and that's a mi'ut. There's a minimizing in that pasuk, and a exclusion in that pasuk of other things which, for our purposes, the zov is tomei, but not the blood that comes out of his mouth. So you see that over here that the blood that comes out of his mouth is tohor. Now, if it were correct that there is saliva that's mixed in, we mentioned before that the saliva of a zav is highly defiling. It's an av hatuma. It's very tomei. So you see from this that there is no saliva mixed in with the blood that comes from his mouth, because if it were, it wouldn't be tohor. The Gemara resolves, lo kashya. There is no contradiction here. Kan b'motzetzes, kan b'shoises. Motzetzes is a situation where someone, before they spit, they suck in. They suck in and then spit out. In that case, it's impossible that there isn't some roik, some saliva mixed in. What this source is teaching is a situation where the Zav happens to just have blood dribbling out of his mouth without his having sucked in and spitting it out. So blood that comes, that drools out of his mouth, that in fact could be pure blood without roik mixed in. Cheresh shenechlatz v'chulei. The Mishnah went on to teach v'choyletzes lekoton chalitzosa psula. That means that the Yevama, the widow that removed the shoe from her brother-in-law that happened to be a minor, that is ineffective. It doesn't release her. Omar, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. What we see in our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. That Chalitza's cotton is Psula. Now, that term, we should emphasize the term psula. We're going to see that in contrast with another term. Avo chachomim oimrim, ein chalitzes koton klum. So now, what's the difference between saying something is psula versus some ein klum, that it's nothing? So, the difference is that a chalitza that's called psula is considered having halachic ramifications vis-a-vis her ability to marry the brothers, the surviving brothers of her deceased husband. She won't be able to marry them. However, the opinion of the Chachomim that ein chalitza's koton klum, that would mean that the removal of the shoe of the minor does not have any effect whatsoever, and she could even marry one of the brothers after having removed the shoe of the minor. We continue. Tano shecholtza, the Mishnah went on to say, tachloitz mishetagdil v'imlo choltza chalitzos apsula. A minor girl, the widow was a minor who did the chalitza. She's supposed to do it again when she becomes an adult after 12 years of age. And if she doesn't, then her chalitza is called a chalitza psula. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav Zu, Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, the Omar Ish, Kosub B'Parsha, Umakshinon Isha Le'ish. In the Parsha that deals with Yevoma and Chalitza, the Pasuk says, and Rashi quotes the Pasuk, V'imlo yachpoitz ho'ish. The word ish indicates an adult, which of course excludes a minor. So that's as far as the male is concerned. Rabbi Meir feels that we compare the female to the male. So just like the male who is participatory in Chalitza, we just saw, results in a Chalitza Psula, so too, from the female standpoint, the widow, if she's a minor, her removal of the shoe is called Chalitza Psula. Avo Chachomim Oimrim, Ish Ksiv B'Parsha. As far as the Chachomim, who disagree with Rabbi Meir, say that Ish is written, and that will exclude the Katan, and we already saw the opinion of the Chachomim that a Katan was the participant in the Chalitza ceremony, it results in nothing. Isha, however, when it comes to the woman, the widow, bein gedoyla, bein ktana, whether she's adult or even if she is a minor, man chachomim, who is this chachomim? Reb Yosi he. This is the opinion of Reb Yosi. The Reb Chia, the Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, havu yasvi. Now, we should point out that we're going to be starting now a Maisa, an incident. This incident is what we call in Gemara markings a long Maisa. So take note of that. We should point out that in the course of this long Maisa, we will see that it is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that we don't associate Isha with each, rather with regard to the Isha, Bein Gedola, Bein Ketana. So now the story continues. The Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, Havu Yasvi, they were seated. Posachad min Avi Omar, one of them opened up and said, Hamispalel, Tzorch Shitein Einov Lemato. When praying, when davening, one's eyes should be Lemato. Now, the word Lemato literally means facing downwards. But Rashi says, Einov Lemato, Klape Eretz Yisrael, facing Israel, Mishum Deshchina Hosam Kaimo, because that's where the divine presence is located. The Gemara continues, quoting the very pasuk that we just saw in Rashi, Shenemar, why is it that when one is davening, his eyes should be facing Israel? The pasuk says, V'hoyu einai v'libi shom kol hayomim. The next opinion, V'chad Omar, Hamispalil tzorech shiyechavein es liboy lemalo. Notice, in the first opinion, said, Yitein einov lemata, that these eyes facing Eretz Yisrael. And this opinion says that he's supposed to yechavein es libo. Now here we have the reading that we just adopted was the reading that you can see suggested by the Bach in Ois Aleph. In the original text, in fact, you would see a point of contradiction where the second opinion says einov ar lemala, heavenwards. Shenemar, the pasuk says nosa levovenu el kapayim. Adahochi v'hochi, also Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi l'gabayu. In the meantime, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, he appears. He appears to them. He comes to them, to Rabbi Chiyo and Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe. Omarlu v'mayaskisu. So Rabbi Shmuel asks them, what are you involved with? Omru le, but Philo, we're involved with davening, with rules, with practices regarding prayer. Omar lahu, so Rabbi Shmuel says, kach Omar Abba. Thusly says Abba. Abba is father, that's Rabbi Yossi. Hamispalotsof shiitein einov lemato v'liboy lemalo. One who is davening is in fact supposed to do both. His eyes facing Israel and his heart heavenwards. Kedei shiiskaimu shnei mikros halol. In order to fulfill these two verses. Adahochi. Also, Rebbe lemesifta. In the meantime, Rebbe now enters the academy. Inu dahavu klili yasivu beduchtayu. With upon Rebbe's entrance, Rebbe came in to give a public drasha, and everyone had to assume their location, their seats. So, Rebbe Chia and Rebbe Shimon Rebbe, who were swift moving, they were light, they were lean individuals. Yasivu b'duchtayo, they reached their places quickly. Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi agav yukre have mifsav oziel. Rabbi Yishmael was an obese, a corpulent individual, and because of his weight, he walked slowly. He plodded forward. Rashi says, Hoylechlad, he walked slowly. Omar Le Avdon. Avdon is the name of a student of Rebbe. Mihu ze shemifaseya al roshe am kodosh. Who is this that seems to be, now here he's literally walking over the heads of people. In other words, everyone is seated and he's pushing his way through, or he's strolling through everyone, between everyone that's already seated. There's a more discussion on this point elsewhere, but we're trying to communicate here the spirit of things. Abdom is speaking in a derisive fashion, in a critical fashion, concerning Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. So Abdon had asked, who is this fellow? Omar Lay. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, Ani Yishmuel Rabbi Yossi Shebosi Lilmoterami Rabbi. If you're asking who I am, my name is Yishmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, who has come to learn Torah from Rabbi. Omar Lay V'chiyatu Hogun Lilmoterami Rabbi. Are you fit? Are you qualified? Are you deserving to learn Torah from the great Rebbe? Omar Lei, Sir Rabbi Shmuel says in response, if you're going to measure one's acceptability when it comes to learning Torah from a great sage, so, and you're going to measure things in terms of, is it proper for me? I'm qualified. Am I deserving or not? So, v'chi Moshe haya hagun lilmoy Torah mipi ha'gvura. Was Moshe Rabbeinu fit to learn Torah from the Almighty? In other words, if you are suggesting that Rebbe is a very great man, and I'm of very little significance, and hence, because of my extreme insignificance, I'm not fit to learn from your great master. Well then, how are you going to measure Moshe Rabbeinu learning from the Almighty? Here you have the finite, as great as he was, but measured against the infinite. There's no standard, there's no way in which we can even compare, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu did learn from the Almighty. So I may be very insignificant, but I can likewise learn from Rebbe. Omar Lei, so Abdon says in response, V'chi Moshe ata, you're comparing yourself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Are you Moshe? Omar Lei, V'chi Raboch Elakim Hu, and is your teacher the Almighty? Rebbe, from the context of this story, heard this interchange. Omar of Yosef, Shakle Rebbe Limitarfase. Rashi explains, Shakle Rebbe Limitarfase Ligmulo. Rebbe receives, we'll say, merit or reward. Al Sheshoma Velomicha. He listened and he did not respond. The Ka'omar Lei, what did Rebbe hear that might be taken as, we'll say, disparaging, and yet remain silent? Abdon had said to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, he says, the Kamale Raboch, he says, is your rabbi, your teacher, the Almighty? Velo, Rabbi. Abdon, in fact, was a student of Rebbe, as Rashi had pointed out. Shouldn't Abdon, in greater respect, have said, is my Rebbe? In other words, let's be a little more precise. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi had referred to Rebbe. Rebbe is Rabbi Yudah Nossi. When speaking to Abdon, he said, your teacher, your rabbi. And he didn't say, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi did not say, my rabbi, Elohim. So, Rebbe, actually, you can see in Masechet Bava Metzia, Rebbe was a very humble individual, and he acted accordingly and remained silent, even though there was an element of disparagement here when Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was referring to Rebbe as someone else's rabbi, but not my own. Adohachi Asyo Yevoma Lekami de Rebbe. In the meantime, a Yevoma came to Rebbe. Omar Lei Rebbe LaAbdon. Rebbe turned to Abdon and said to him, Poik Bodka, go check her out. Check her out, meaning establish that she's reached adulthood, that she's produced the two necessary pubic hairs for adulthood. Labosu de Nofak, when he went out, Omar le Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi, Kach Omar Abba, namely Rabbi Yossi. And this is what is significant for our discussion. Ish Kosu V'Parsha, the requirement of adulthood is stated with regard to the male. Avol Isha, but with regard to the female, the widow, the Avoma, Bein Gedola, Bein Ketana. Notice we dash on Bein Ketana, that she can even be a minor, and still it's an acceptable chalitza. Omar Le, so Rebbe says to Abdon, Ta, come back, Lo Tzrichas, you don't have to go check her out, Kvar Hoy Rezokein, the sage has already issued his ruling. And he's Rebbe is referring to Rebbe Yossi. Komifsa Abdon V'Yossi. Now Abdon is coming back, walking through the crowd and walking between all the people. Amarli Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. So Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, who was insulted before, he now says to Abdon, Mi shetzorich loy am kodosh yifsal roshei am kodosh. Someone who is needed by the public. I was needed. I reported to Rebbe the teaching of Rebbe Yossi, which was very important for this particular incident. So someone who is needed by Am Kodesh, by the Klal Yisrael, by the nation. So because he's needed by the nation, he has the right to walk over their heads, to walk between them. Mi she'ein tzorech loy am kodesh, someone who is of no necessity for the Jewish people, heich yifsa roshei am kodesh, how can he walk over the heads of the people that are seated there? Omar le Rebbe la'abdon, kum beduchtech, stay where you are. Tana ba'oise shah nitzara abdon. At that moment, Abdon became a metzora. V'tovu shnei bonov, and his two sons drowned. Umianu shtei kalosov, and his two daughters-in-law did miun. That means they walked out of their marriages. They were minors that had a rabbinic marriage to their spouses, and they were mimayonos. They walked out. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Brich Rachmona, that's an Aramaic for saying, Blessed be the Almighty, the Kasve LaAbdon Bahai Almo, that enabled Abdon to be embarrassed in this world. So that, in effect, Abdon had received his due punishment for having insulted Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi beforehand, but the punishment that he received was in this world, as serious as it appears to be in this Gemara, that you can just imagine through Rav Nachman's comment of how much more suffering he would have experienced had he lived out the good life in this world. Omar Rebbe Ami, Midvarov Shel Bribi, from the words of the great man is a reference to Rabbi Yossi, Nilmoid Ktano Choyletzes Bepa'utois. The term perutos is a reference to a certain age, and Rashi mentions that it's the age of approximately 6-7 years old. So once a girl reaches that age, where she has some degree of awareness of what's going on, so she can do the chalitza. Rova Omar ad shetagia le'oinas nedorim. Rava says that though we accept a minor, she must be older than Oinas HaPe'utos, than the Pe'utos age that Rabbi Ami just cited, but she has to reach Oinas Nedorim. That's literally the time of vow taking. The halacha is, as far as the Midin HaGemara, that a girl a year before adulthood, if she vows and she understands the severity, the seriousness of a vow, if she's found to understand that, the vow is binding. And likewise, if she sanctifies things at that age, a year before adulthood, that would mean after her 11th birthday, she is called, that's reaching Oinas Nidorim. So the Ketana referred to that can do Chalitza would be a girl who's past 11 years of age. Vilchasa ad shetovi shtei saras. However, the Gemara itself rules she has to produce the two pubic hairs indicating adulthood. Chalitza b'shnayim. The Mishnah went on to say Chalitza sapsula. Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yochanan asandlor were machshir. So the sukkah here, as our topic heading indicates on the side, b'fnei kama chalitzim, in front of how many, in fact, is chalitza to take place? Amar of Yosef bar min Yumi, Amar of Nachman, ein halacha ka'isa hazug. The halacha will not follow that pair. The pair is Rav Shimon and Rav Yonan Sanlor that allowed chalitza within the presence of two. The Gemara continues, v'ho Amar Rav Nachman chado zimna. But has Rav Nachman not already said this? The Omer of Yosef bar Min Yumi, Rav Nachman, halacha chalitza b'shlosha. So you see, Rav Nachman has already said that the halacha is that you need three present for the chalitza ceremony. Why then does he have to tell us here that the halacha does not follow this pair? The Gemara answers, tzrichi. In fact, I need both statements. And here the Gemara explains why. De'i Itmar hach komaisa. Had I had only the first comment where it was mentioned that we won't accept two, hava mina hanimili lichatchila, I would have thought that as a first choice we wouldn't accept two avol dieved afilu trei. But if it was done, so post facto we would say it's kosher. Komash molon. Therefore, he has to say ein halacha ka'isa hazug. Now we were a little inaccurate. We have to say this again. Once again, the iyatmar hach komaisa means the second point that Rav Nachman had made. See, the word komaisa means first, but it's in this context it's the earlier comment. The earlier comment of Rav Nachman had been that you chalitza requires three. So, had I had that, then I would have thought that that's only as a first choice, but post facto, if I have two, it would be okay. Komash Malon, therefore, he has to tell us ein halacha ka'isa zug, that the halacha does not follow that pair that had accepted two. The e ashme'inan ein halacha ka'isa zug, elo ketana kama, had we've been taught that halacha doesn't follow that pair, but rather like the Tana Kama. Havamina dieved. I would have thought that's post facto. Aval echadchilo liboy chamisha. But as a first choice, you should really require five, a number that we have seen in the past. Tzricha. Therefore, I have to be told the other point, namely that the halacha is a chalitza is b'shlosha. In our Mishnah text, it reads, "Maisa be'echot shecholatz beinoy leveino beveso asurim." There was an incident that a couple, a Yavam and Yavama, were alone in a penitentiary, and they did chalitza. Ubal maisa lefnei Rabbi Kiva v'hichshir, and the incident came to the attention of Rabbi Kiva, and he said, "It's okay." Now the Gemara, beino leveino miyodana. If as the Mishnah says, it took place simply between the Yavam and Yavaman, there was no one else around. So how would we know about it? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, v'edim royin oisoi mibachutz. There were witnesses that were standing on the outside that saw it. Ibayaloho, Maise Shecholtzu. Now this is a question, there are two parts of the question. So do we say Maise Shecholtzu Beino Leveino Avroi Ubo Maise Lefnei Rabbi Kiva Bebeis HaSurim? Is it that the Maisa of the Chalitza that took place in private was actually outside the penitentiary, not like we had read before, but it was outside, and the incident became known to Rabbi Akiva, who was in the prison. Or is it that the incident took place in the penitentiary? Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Beveis Hasurin Hoya Maisa. The Chalitza took place in the Beis Hasurin. Ulebeis Hasurin Bo Maisa. And the issue, the incident, came to Rabbi Akiva, who was also in the prison. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.